First, we want to begin. I just want to mention, though, today the terrible tragedy in Florida. It's really watching the news, seeing what's going on there is a.
I wonder if those people are still.
They're missing. I mean, you're missing over 150 people are missing.
Right.
Where are they?
About 100, I think.
It's a horrific. Just seeing the pictures of the people, and many of them, it's a tragedy for any human being. Okay, this is like it's a real throwback to 9/11, and if any human being is just horrific, and especially for us. Many of them are Acheinu B'nei Yisrael.
Yeah.
And
Israel said they're missing 20 citizens.
That's right.
Unbelievable. Okay, these are Acheinu B'nei Yisrael. And this is a horrific, horrific tragedy. And already this is the third tragedy of its kind this year. Public safety. Meron. It's a public safety tragedy. What happened in Stalin, the bleachers.
Yeah.
The collapse of the bleachers. Is a public safety tragedy, and this building, they it's all over on the news. They knew this building was in a very big sakana. For years, this building has been sinking, at an accelerated rate. Okay, fine, but the indications are no one's to judge. Listen, it could happen to any. The indications are that. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. No one can ever see it coming. You know, everything we do is, but Hashem is speaking to us.
Exactly.
Three tragedies that all have in common, the common denominator is public safety. It's public safety. If I'm not mistaken, I heard that after the tragedy of Meron, I think it was of Shmuel Kamenetsky. Maybe if not him, it was someone else. So they asked him, what's the lesson to learn from this? So he said, the lesson is that when you cross the street, look both ways. That's the lesson to learn. Public safety is not a joke. It's not a joke, okay? There's a sign here. Occupancy by more than 94 persons is dangerous in the law. I don't think we have a problem now, Shia. But public safety is serious business. There are reasons why there are rules and regulations and how to do things, and three times already this year, these are unusually horrific accidents. Look, could it have been prevented? Obviously, everything could be prevented. But for every story that could have been, there are so many. You know, we live at risk. But so what? It's a message from Hashem, and there are codes and there are rules and there are precautions and things. Really, we have to really begin to. Pay attention, and halavai, they say there's still hope, the people are alive. You have to be mispalel, Hashem shavrachamim, that these people should survive. They've already been missing ready for over a day.
They might have been traveling, no? They might not have been there.
It's been a long time already. It's been a long time, no one knows. They can't even do anything because there's a sakana, the whole building, the other part of the building will fall down. It's sakanas nefashas. Hashem Yirachim. And it just struck me when I was going over the parasha that the animal took a lot of abuse from Bilam. He's traveling on the animal, and the animal goes onto the side. First it goes onto the road. The second time it goes in between two walls. The third time it goes down a dead-end valley. And each time Bilam picks up, hits it with a stick, hits it with his hands, he hits it. And the animal finally opens up its mouth and says to the animal, the animal says to Bilam, V'tomer hasan el Bilam, Haloi anochi asoincha, asher achavta olai me'odcha adayim hazeh, ha-haskein hiskanti. What do those words mean? Ha-haskein hiskanti? Did I put you in danger? La'asoyis l'chokoi, the word haskei niskant, lashon of sakona. Okay, there are different translations for this word.
Yes.
Did I ever do anything to put you in sakona? I'm telling you a little bit of a drush. Vayomer lo. And he three times, this is already the third times, and the malach also, the malach said to Bilam, why did you hit your animal three times? Your animal is trying to protect you. I'm here on the road. The Malach has a charboi shalufa biyado. I'm trying to provide you with protection. and you are trying to push your limits. You're trying to overstep the public safety rules. You have here a donkey. This is the malach. The malach saw, the donkey saw a malach shel rachamim, a malach of mercy, to protect you, to save you. And you don't want to be saved. You don't want to be saved. You want to do what you want to go do. And what do? You abuse the object, the donkey, that's here to protect you. This donkey here is here to protect you, that you should not be injured, you should not be hurt. And you basically override, you have a system, and the system shuts down because a safety feature has been triggered. So what do? Override. You're in the car. The car says you better stop now because something is getting very dangerous, is about to happen. You have warning signs. Override. I don't care. Keep on going. So you do it once, you do it twice, you do it three times. And then what happens? You get hurt. And then who do you blame? You blame the car. Well, the car warned you three times it's gonna happen. And each time that it warned you, you overrode the safety features. Isn't that what happened over here? Over here, the donkey went to the side. If the malach is saying, now, you have to understand, Bilam is a Navi. Bilam is not just your average Joe. If the malach criticized Bilam for hitting the donkey, it meant, Bilam, you should have understood that if the donkey went to the side of the road, there was a reason. Bilam is not your average Joe. Bilam is on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam had the same level of prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's clear from the conversation that the donkey is trying to save you from yourself. And what did you do? Override. Get back on the road. Second danger. Override. Get back on the road. Third warning. Override. Get back on the road. And then after three times, not only does he press the override, he criticizes the rules. He criticizes the donkey three times. And the malach says to him, what are you doing? You're a fool. What are you doing? And it's merumas. The animal says, did I try to bring upon you ha-haskein hiskanti? I want to darish and drush lashon of sakana. I'm not trying to put you in sakana by taking you to the start. Adaraba, I'm trying to save you. And he's severely criticized. And unfortunately, we find ourselves in the shoes of Bilam in our lives very, very often. We do things that are very dangerous, and we're warned. Don't do this. You do this, it's dangerous. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be behaving in such a manner. No, it's okay. We do it again, warn you again, we do it again, and then when there's a disaster, who do we blame? We blame the people who made the rules, instead of blaming ourselves. Lama zeh kisani zeh shalosh pa'amim. We had already this year three major tragedies with loss of life, and in Stalin, two people lost their lives, but the other people there are...
A third person died
in Stalin. And how many people there have been traumatized for the rest of their life to fall from such... and the whole thing... It's horrific. And what happened now, you saw the people, the families, they're waiting out by the building, what's going on there in Florida. Listen, could it be prevented? Listen, could have 9/11 been prevented? Could COVID been prevented? We always can live in the, always go back and live in the past. No one's coming to say what could have been, what should have been. But at least the lesson going forward is if there's a warning sign in matters of public safety, just like you have this donkey, a person should have a little seichel and take things seriously. Three times is a very, very frightening thing. Okay, let's go further. Hashem Yirachem. Let's go further. This week's parasha, we learn about our enemies. We have over here a very interesting story about. I saw one of this masorim that describes this story. He calls Balak an Erel Lochagoy. An air bolak. What do we mean? Why do we call? What is he called bolak? An erulach guy. Let's understand why. Because a guy has certain halachas he has to follow. They're halachas. One of the halachas of a guy is halacha biyadua she'esav soine Yaakov. And let's, even though Moav is not Esav, but let's just for the sake of simplicity use Esav as a catch-all for all of the non-Jewish world. It says in Parshas Vayetze in Rashi that halacha, when Yaakov Avinu, in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu came to greet Esav, and Yaakov was terrified, petrified of what would happen when he encounters his brother. Esav came out to meet him with 400 of his best men. He comes to greet him, and he prepared presents, he prepared for war, he divided the machaneh. He was petrified. And then things worked out well. He met Esav. Esav kissed him. And Rashi tells us that Esav kissed Yaakov b'chol liboy, his full heart. And Rashi tells us, don't be impressed. he throws in a monkey wrench. Don't be impressed. Even though he kissed him b'chol liboy, don't ever, ever forget. A Jew should never, ever forget. Halacha, his words are, halacha, it is, what does it mean, halacha? Halacha, halacha, l'moshim nesin, I don't know what it means, halacha. It's a standard. It's a solid principle. Biyadua, it is an established fact. Esav soine Yaakov. Ela, be'oisa sho'o, at that particular moment, nichmiru rachamov, his mercy was triggered. His mercy was triggered, and he kissed the mechol libay. When we find ourselves in the matzav here in America, Baruch Hashem, relatively speaking, it's been wonderful. We're living in a tekufa of be'oisa shah, nichmiru. Ella be'oisa shah nichmeru rachamav. We're zoiched to be living in an era of time in history of be'oisa shah nichmeru rachamav. But we have to be very careful, because Rashi says halacha. Listen, we're maminim. Rashi, I'm not saying chidushim here. Rashi says halacha biyaduhi she'esav soine Yaakov. Look at history. The earth is soaked in our blood. Halacha biyaduhi she'esav soine Yaakov. Now here, why do they hate us? We had a whole shir yesterday. Why they hate us? Went through a whole bunch of reasons why they hate us. Did Balak have any reason to hate Klal Yisrael? Absolutely not. We were not living in their land. We're not going through their land. In fact, when we wanted to pass through Edom, Klal Yisrael said, let us go through your land. We don't want any war. We'll buy food from you. We'll pay you money. We'll do whatever you want. We just need rite of passage. He already saw that the Jews are harmless. They were not going through his land. They don't want to live in his land. They don't want to bother him. It was already proven. It's already the end of 40 years. The Jewish people have nothing to do with you. Zero. They don't want anything from you. So what are you going and making trouble? Who asked you? Who asked you? So the answer is, he's an erlich guy. Even though he has no personal vendetta, no personal reason, Balak says, ach bin a guy, there's a halacha. Halacha biyadua, Esav soine Yaakov. I'm supposed to hate Yaakov. I'm supposed to hate Yaakov, even though I have no reason to hate Yaakov. I have no reason to hate Yaakov. But halacha biyadua, Esav soine Yaakov. So just for no reason, I hate him. That's unbelievable. And what does he do? He goes, he hires Bilam. Come with me, let come, and I want you to go and curse the Jewish people. And we learn over here in this parish a whole new dimension of anti-Semitism, hatred. And b'hashgacha pratis, that parashas Balak is always the parasha before the Bein HaMetzarim. The Bein HaMetzarim is the time of the year when we are very vulnerable. We are vulnerable. 10 tragedies occurred during these two breakpoints as we spent time this week. We are very vulnerable. And right before that vulnerability begins, we learn, read this parasha. And the entire parasha, in many ways, in many dimensions, brings out a lesson in how much the Umay Sa'ilam hate us. They hate us in unconventional ways. Right off the bat, there's no reason for them to hate us. We have nothing to do with these people of Moab. We're not piercing through their land. We're not coming to conquer them. We don't want anything from them. For no other reason. For no reason other than anything. He says a ridiculous excuse. Yelachu Hashari. He sees these two nations. He sees Klal Yisrael, and he tells Bilam, I'm afraid they're going to wipe out the whole world. What are his words over here? Vayomer Moav, Vayogar Moav, he was afraid, b'nei ha'am, me'oid, ki rafu, Vayokatz Moav, b'nei Yisrael. They were terrified. Why are they terrified? Because we were successful. Because we were numerous. Did we want to harm them? No. And then Rashi says, Vayokatz Moav, Rashi says something very shocking. They hated themselves. Our success brought out in them a hatred for themselves, realizing they live empty lives. Rashi is clear as a vayokot smov kotsu b'chayehem. What does it mean b'chayehem? They hated their own lives. When you see someone living a life of truth, of value, of purpose, of mission, and then you look at yourself, look in the mirror, and you see that you live a life of emptiness, you can't live with yourself. When you see the real thing and you realize you have nothing, just the fact that we exist, we are the moral conscience of the world. Just the fact that we exist and we are successful, we have a purpose, it causes them to hate themselves. And the hatred they have for themselves becomes irrational. And it manifests itself in them trying to destroy us in order they should remove their moral conscience. It's like what Hitler said these words. But the moral conscience of the world, and we have to get rid of this moral conscience so therefore we can love ourselves. It's mamish bollock. It's a very this type of anti-Semitism. Is in many ways is the catch-all anti-Semitism that is koilel all the different, we discussed yesterday, many different varieties, many flavors, different reasons we discussed the anti-Semitism, the hatred of Esau, the hatred of Yishmael, the hatred of Amalek, the hatred of just some jealousy, the hatred of Ammon and Moav, for different reasons, because the Torah singled them out. Lo yavai amoni umaavi bekalash, they accused us of being racist. But here we have another type of source of hatred, and that is they don't really hate us. They hate themselves. And we are a reminder of why they hate themselves. We had the other hatred was Har Sinai. Misham Yorda Sinna La'ila. We went through like 5-6 different types of sinna. But this week's parasha really is the catch-all. Rashi says in Vayokotz Moav Kotsu Bechayehem, which means they hated their own lives because we were their moral conscience. Okay, that itself is a lesson. But what I really want to focus on now is just very briefly is the unconventional method they employed to destroy us. In history of the world, when you have an enemy, what do? You go to war. You go, you get your soldiers together, you get your weapons, and you go to war. He didn't do that. Balak went, and he hired Bilam to curse us. And Rashi says he took hold of our tool. Our tool is koyach is bepeh. The weapon of Klal Yisrael is the koyach hadibor, koyach of tefillah, the Koich of Torah, HaKoil Kol Yaakov, and he fought us with our own weapon, the Koich of the Peh. And he hired Bilam, the prophet of the world, that he should curse us. Okay, that itself is very fascinating. It's unconventional warfare. He would live in a world, in the modern world today, think of the modern world today, how do people fight wars? You have a country, and the country wants, they're aggressive. Look what's happening in Crimea, in Russia. They, for some strange reason, they desperately want to take hold of Crimea. I don't know why. So they're aggressive. They are engaged in conventional warfare. They have tanks and missiles. They're trying to. They're not partnering with other countries. They're doing it themselves. How? With a display of might, of power, military power. Very conventional, run-of-the-mill. Been there, done that. We've seen that before. First of all, here it's very unique. I'm not going to fight them with weapons of mass destruction. I'm going to fight them with dibur, cursing them. Okay, but that's not really where it ends. Rashi here, towards the end of the parasha, he says something very, very fascinating. And he really explains his volume. He says, Bolok was the ultimate menachish. Now, what does it mean, nichosh? I don't know what nichosh means. Magic, some type of incantations where you basically, you divine magic. You're able to use the koich.
They each had a specialty,
and they needed each other, right? Shiduchim, exactly.
Bolok had a bird, according to Rechayim. That's why it's called Tzipor. Bolok meant Tzipor. What shot Tzipor is a bird? So according to Rechayim, Bolok had a bird who could see, because how did they know what went on in Mitzrayim? And he said he had a bird.
Right, koichas anichosh, okay, whatever it is.
But Rashi also, he had his kisha Bolok, not just Bolok alone.
Rashi explains that Rashi explains, at the end of the parasha, it might be taking too long to find it this moment, but Rashi at the end of the parasha explains, Bolok was the master of Nichosh. Bilam was the master of uttering a curse. And Rashi explains that if a person just utters a curse, it's meaningless. In fact, it can be detrimental. The curse can boomerang and come upon yourself. Being a master of knowing how to curse someone, It doesn't mean anything. Just because you have the weapon of having a power to curse, you have to know when to curse, where to curse. You need to know the vulnerability of your victim to be able to use the curse. On the other hand, Balak, the king of Moab, he was a master of Nichash. And the way Rashi explains in modern terms, take out all of the mysticism of Nichush, it means to know a person's vulnerability. An army, every nation has strengths and weaknesses. It's a state kept secret, the weakness of the country. What's it called? The Achilles heel. Every nation, every person has a weakness. But no one could ever possibly guess what that weakness is. Every human being, every creature built into this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created within them a weakness. The koyach of nichush, okay, although it sounds like some esoteric, mystical concept, in essence is exploiting or is the discovery. The koyach of nichush, when it's distilled to its purest form, is the discovery of a person, nation, and entity's weakness. Wow, wonderful. I know what your weakness is. Now, can I take advantage of that weakness? Can I exploit that weakness?
Maybe.
No way, I can't get near you. If your weakness is in a certain area, a certain realm, there's nothing I can do. I can't get near you. I can't get there to take advantage of knowing what your weakness is. Bilam knows how he has the ultimate weapon, the weapon of Klala, which is the nukes, the ultimate weapon. But you have to know where to apply. You have to know where to put the nukes, where the vulnerability lies. Balak and Bilam is the perfect shidduch. Each one has exactly what the other person is lacking and what they need to succeed. Rashi says it's mamish beferish at the end of the parasha. And therefore, the wickedness of this form of hatred for Klal Yisrael that is being presented to us, Erev, the Bein HaMitzarim, our enemies, traditionally in the world, you have an enemy. So what does the enemy do? They use whatever they have. They have their power, their talent, their gifts, and they do what they can do. And if they can't succeed, so they don't try. It's beneath their dignity to team up with a partner that has what they're missing to succeed in their mission. The hatred here of these two people, Balak and Bilam, is how they came together as a team to achieve the goal of destroying the Jewish people. Balak, he knew the vulnerabilities of Klal Yisrael. Bilam had the power. That's where Rashi, I'm complaining to Rashi. Towards the end of the locations. Several attempts. And each one he kept on saying, maybe here in this location.
Probing for a weakness. He didn't know that until after.
I have to find the Rashi. So towards the end of the parasha, right before Matov. Right before we come to Matov Olecha Yaakov, he goes on the third time he wants to curse the Jewish people. L'chona iti. Let me find the pasuk. Let's see. Balak.
You have to look at some of the other explanations.
This is a lesson in Musa Haskell for us in Klal Yisrael to be aware of, is that how vulnerable we are. Now the truth is, where does this really come from? Maise Ovo is similar, but the first time someone made a zivuk to destroy us was who? Yishmael and Esav. Or really, Esav with Yishmael. Right after Yaakov Avinu received the bracha, he received the Birchas Yitzchak. Right after the Birchas Yitzchak, what happened? Esav, Yaakov, Rivka, and Yitzchak said to Yaakov, we want you now to get married. We want you to go to Lavan and marry one of his daughters. Immediately thereafter, Esav said, oh, if now Yaakov is getting married, I'm also going to get married to another wife. And who did he marry? Bosmas Bas Yishmael. Chazal tell us, why did he specifically marry the daughter of Yishmael? There are no nice Jewish girls to marry. Why did Esav have to go take Bas Yishmael? Because Yishmael shared with Esav a grievance. We were both driven out. When Esav saw that he lost what he felt was meant for him, he was the Bechor. I'm the Bechor. I was meant to get the Birchas Yitzchak. I lost it to my younger brother. Who else has the same grievance? Yishmael. Yishmael was also the Bechor of Avraham Avinu. And what happened to him? Goresh es ben ho'amo hazos kilo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. So you know what? Maybe I was outsmarted. Maybe Yishmael was outsmarted. But together we'll form an alliance and we'll both take back what we really feel that we deserve. Yishmael was eliminated from Avraham, and Esav was removed from Yitzchak. Together, who both have a grievance together, and each one has something different that one does not have. In other words, what is the advantage of Esav over Yishmael? The advantage is that Esav is still a Ben Avraham. Avraham is on my side. What is the advantage that Yishmael has that Esav does not have? Yishmael, Yitzchak did not reject me. I'm part of Yitzchak. Yishmael, it's a very interesting idea. Yitzchak and Yishmael can get along. There's no reason in the world why Yitzchak and Yishmael can't get along. Yishmael cannot get along with Avraham Avinu. There is a split. There's no way there will be reconciliation between Avraham Avinu and Yishmael. There's no reconciliation because he was driven away from Avraham Avinu. Goresh es ben ho'amor ha'azos ki lo yirash in b'din Yitzchak. He may behave himself, but there's no reconciliation between Yishmael and Avraham Avinu. But what about Yishmael and Yitzchak? Why not? There's no grievance. What? They're not brothers.
There's a man who's rabbi. There's a man who said that Avraham Avinu went to visit Yishmael.
He went to visit. I know that. That's peace. Those are peacekeeping missions. But it's not reconciliation. Those are peacekeeping missions. There's no grievance between Yishmael and Avraham Avinu. And when you want to go focus on the midos of, when you want to focus on the midos of Yitzchak, Yitzchak is Givura. Yitzchak represents, let's say, your connection to Tefillah. Avraham is Chesed. Yitzchak is davening. Yaakov is Torah. Now you have Yishmaelim. What are the Yishmaelim misnaged to? They're misnaged. No, they're not misnaged. Exactly, they're not misnaged to our davening. They're misnaged to the Chesed. Chesed. The Yishmaelim in essence are misnaged to the Chesed of Avraham Avinu. They're not misnaged because they were driven out. Avraham is Chesed. When the Yishmaelim see that Klal Yisrael is Oisik in Chesed, it drives them nuts. When the Yishmaelim see that we're good daveners, it doesn't bother them because that's not their business. What is Esav? What does Esav dislike? And this Yutaka see in history, our davening. Esav cannot get along with Yitzchak. Esav was driven out of the hell by Yitzchak. What is Yitzchak? The Koyach of Tefillah. They're always coming to shut down our shuls. The churches are all that's mamish. The snagdus of Esav is to the Koyach of Tefillah of Klal Yisrael. Does Esav, but Esav has a very good relationship with Avraham Avinu. When Klal Yisrael does Chesed, Esav is very happy because we also do Chesed. We're also Ben Avraham Avinu. This is the Medina Shel Chesed. This is Esav, Medina Shel Chesed. The Bnei Avraham. Klal Yisrael does Chesed, we do Chesed. We can get along. There is no problem when Klal Yisrael comes together with Esav under the banner of Chesed. There's no problem. When Klal Yisrael and Esav, they try to, on religious matters of Oymei Lefnei HaMelech, ho, you're in a lot of trouble. That historically is 100% correct. So each one needed the other to create a rift where there can be no reconciliation. In order for Esav and Yishmael to completely remove themselves and to go to battle where there can be no connection, Yishmael Esav had to marry into the family of Yishmael. That hatred, to do something like that, to seek out a way in order to create a full-fledged war and division, Ma'aseh Avosim Labanim has now come forward again in a whole new dimension with Bilam and Balak. It's not enough they have issues with us individually. Each one has to come complement the other in order to achieve a full-fledged hatred to attack us. And the Musa Haskell is for us, watch out. Watch out. We don't realize how vulnerable we are in this world. It's a very dangerous world. History has proven to us we thought we were safe in so many situations in world history, and Rahman al-Itzlan, things did not always work out well. And we mispalal, and Baruch Hashem, now we're living in the tekuf of Ela Bo'is Shah, but we have to be very, very careful. Okay, let's go to what?
A quick word to this, Balak and Bilam, the name of both start with Beis Lamed.
Yeah, Baal Baal, Leif. Yeah. Leif, okay.
Last letters, Amek, Ayin Mem Kuf.
Okay.
The depths of hatred in their heart.
Ooh, Amik Halev, Amik Lev, the depth of hatred deep down in the heart. Very, very interesting. Okay, let's go to another quick drush. Rashi tells us that after he made multiple attempts to curse Klal Yisrael, he said, part of my koich of Kolola is the moment. The moment. You, Bilam, set up the vulnerability of Klal Yisrael, specific locations where they were nichshol and terrible averos. You put me there in an environment, and now I want to put out the curse. Part of the the mechanism of cursing is to identify the moment. The moment when Hashem is angry. And when the Hashem is angry, that is when I can issue my curse. To be mechaving the words of Chazal are, Yodeya hoysa bilam l'chavein hasho'ah. Let me see if I can find the Rashi. Let me see how fast I can find this. If I can't find it right away, we're just going to have to do it balpeh. Here is the Matov Roisi. Go back a little bit over here. Okay. Reish ha-pa'or, hein om l'uvav. Hinei borech l'kachli. Ma, we are fond of Loizoamkel. What pasuk? Chav Gimel. What pasuk do you say? Ches. Pasuk Ches. Moe koy. Okay, very excellent. Pasuk Ches. Pasuk Ches in Rashi. Peruch Chav Gimel. Pasuk Ches. The pasuk says. Okay, this is go a little bit further. Zer Omar loy zoam kel ani. Here it is. I got it. Thank you very much. It's Perikhov Gimel Pasiches in the second Rashi. Loy zoam Hashem ein ani ein koichi elo shani yoidea lechavein hasho'o. The moment. She HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyes Bo. So I can do the best that I can when I identify the moment when Hashem is angry. V'hu loikoas kol hayomim halalu shebos yelecha. But guess what? When I came to you, Hashem was not angry during those moments of time. Now the truth is Hashem really should have been angry during those moments of time. But Hashem did us kindness, and on those particular days he knew that we were vulnerable, he did not get angry. And that's what it says in the Haftorah. Mm-hmm. Haftorah actually says it mamash explicitly. V'zeu shenemar, he quotes the Haftorah. Ami, he quotes the Haftorah, right here, here it is. Ami, my nation, zuchor no ma yoatz, uma one oisoy bilam, l'manda sidkois Hashem. So the words of Rashi are, Ani, ein koichi elo, shani yodel lechavein hasho'o. The moment, shakadosh baruch hu koyespa. Now, I learned this all the years. It's very mystical to me. What is this all about here? Hocus pocus here. There are moments, go through the day, take the day, divide it into seconds. This moment, al pi kabbalah, it's the mazel of the moon. And therefore, at this particular second, Hashem gets angry. And then Hashem is happy, and Hashem is angry again. What does this mean over here? The Sha'ah, there are moments in time, in during the Mazel, you go through the entire week, when Hashem gets angry, this doesn't, something over here is very, very bizarre. So I want to present you a drush, it's not a pshat. We have a rule, whenever a word appears for the very first time in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, this word is essential. It sets the tone. It has enormous potency for the entire Tanakh. All of the Baalei Machshava say this. Rav Chaim Volozhin says this. Many of the Baalei Machshava say this. When a word appears for the very first time, it creates a precedent of meaning and depth that you could apply throughout the entire Tanakh. Where is the first time you have the word Sha'ah? You have it in a different form. V'yelkayin v'yelminchasoy loy sha'ah. It's spelled exactly the same. Shin ayin he. Here the word sha means moment. Hashem did not get angry at this moment. He's looking at his watch, waiting for that moment to come. Oh, the moment came. I'm going to curse them. I cursed them on that exact moment. And what happened? Didn't work. Why not? Because Hashem wasn't angry. And we have, everyone knows the Gemara said, the Gemara was in Mishal Rosh Hashanah, was Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was once very angry at a certain person, the apikorsim, that were driving him crazy, and he wanted to eliminate them. So he took out a chicken, and he put the chicken, he knew that when the chicken's crown turns red, there are red streaks, it happens for a split second, that's the moment when Hashem gets angry, and he was going to issue a curse at that particular moment, at that Sha'ah. And what happened? He fell asleep. He was listening while, during that time, to the morning kolo, and he fell asleep. Oh, and that's it. He lost out. He lost out. When the red streaks, he missed the moment. His wife said to him, you see, Hashem doesn't want you to curse the Apikarsin. He doesn't want you. He wants that you should be mispalel, that they should do teshuvah. They should do teshuvah. You shouldn't curse them. You got it all wrong. Don't try to destroy them. Be mispalel. They should do teshuvah. So you learn from this Gemara that there's a moment. You're waiting for a particular moment. Okay. Well, my meaning, that's what it means. But I want to say something a little bit different. Derech Drush. The first time it says the letters Sha'ah, doesn't mean moment. It means to turn. In the beginning of creation, there were two people who came to acknowledge there's a creator. One was the master over the earth. Cain and Hevel split the world. Cain took for himself all of products of the earth. Cain took for himself all the animal products. The animal products. What? Hevel took the animal products, and Cain took the earth. Cain brought a carbon, and Hevel brought a carbon. And Hashem rejected the carbon of Cain. Vil Cain, the El Mincha Soy Loy Sha'ah. Hashem rejected. Why did Hashem reject? Because he did not bring it with sincerity. He only brought it as opposition to his brother, as I'll explain. They have a whole drush, they analyze the pasuk. Now for now, he saw that Hevel brought a carbon. Oh, if he brings a carbon, I'm going to bring a better carbon. You don't bring a carbon because you really want to bring a carbon. You couldn't care less about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You couldn't care less. You know why you bring a carbon? You're just using Hashem and the Beis HaMikdash and sacrifices as a tool to fight with someone. You're totally insincere. You're just playing games here. So you're not sincere in your offering. The El Kayin, the El Minchasoy, Loy Sha'ah. Hashem did not turn. He did not accept. That's the moment he's looking for. When it says here in the Pasuk that Hevel, that Bilam, what's happening here? Bilam says to Balak, you've provided me with their vulnerability, and now we're going to issue the curse. But the curse can only be issued at a very specific moment. The moment has come, but Hashem is not angry. What does that mean? What's the moment? What's the Sha'ah? The Sha'ah means that it's a Musa Haskel. We know that we serve Hashem many times in our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You get the sensation that Hashem is not accepting our service. We daven three times a day. We observe, do mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. Every person knows, you've been in the business a long enough time, and you know that sometimes you walk out of shul, you feel good. And sometimes you walk out of shul, you feel like, I don't know, it just didn't go today. We've been rejected today. Or things just don't go your way. Things just don't go, the day goes by, and things just don't go your way. And you walk away with a sensation, the El Kayin, the El Minchosoy, Loy Sha'ah. Bilam was sitting the whole day waiting. When is that moment when I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not accepting the service of the Jewish people? They go into Shachris, Mincha, Marv, Chesed, they're doing a lot of things. Not everyone does everything L'shem Shemayim. People do things for ulterior motives all the time. Ma'asim l'chol yom. People do things for all the wrong reasons. I'm waiting for that moment. I'm waiting, I'm watching with my X-ray vision for the moment in Klal Yisrael's service. The El Kayin, V'al minchasai loy sho'ah. And then I'm going to curse them. I'm going to curse, because that's the good moment. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is accepting the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael, I don't have a chance. But Hashem doesn't always accept our prayers. Doesn't always accept the prayers. I'm waiting for V'al kayin V'al minchasai loy sho'ah. That is the opportune moment to launch my attack. And here we learn an incredible chiddush. Hashem says, Zechorna, remember the chesed I did with you. This is a Musa Haskel for life. Just because you go to shul and you come out of shul and you say to yourself, let's be realistic. Hashem didn't listen to the service. We were talking, we were making trouble. The day didn't go our way. It's very obvious. V'yelkayin v'yelmin chosar lo yishah. Just because v'yelkayin v'yelmin chosar lo yishah, Hashem says, I still love you. You're still mine. Zichorna. I'm not angry. Don't reach a conclusion that Hashem is angry. It is so common when people feel that life is not going their way. It is a statement from the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's angry with us. I'm done with you. Get lost. If that was true, if there was kas, then Bilam's klola would have been chal. It would have landed and taken effect. Hashem in this week's Haftarah says, you're coming now to the Bein HaMitzarim. In the Bein HaMitzarim, you know what the Bein HaMitzarim is? It's one big tekufa of V'yel Kayin, V'yel Minchasoy, Loy Sho'ah. Rejection. The Beis HaMikdash is no greater Loy Sho'ah than destroying the Beis HaMikdash, the place where we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what is our natural conclusion? You don't want us, Hashem? We're done. We're done. We're finished. Ami, my nation, Zichorna, the Haftorah, my Yoatz, my Ono Isoy Bilam. Rashi, what did Rashi say? Kol Hayvuhu Loi Koas, Kol Hayomim Halalu, Shabasi Elecha. Just because I found the Sho'ah, it doesn't mean Hashem is angry. We're still connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't give up. Don't quit your day job yet. Okay. To conclude, Rashi over here says something very fascinating. The previous Rashi. The previous Rashi says, Mo ekav loy kaboy kel. Rashi says, you want me to curse them? Kishohoyu ruyim and this pasiches. When they were ruyim lehiskalel, when they were deserving to be cursed. There are times when the Jewish people deserve to be cursed. When are they? Still, loy niskala. When were the times that Hashem did not curse us? Kishehizkir aviyam es avoinam ki ba'apam hargu ish. When Shimon and Levi wiped out a whole city, they were deserving of a curse. And yet, guess what? Yaakov Avinu didn't curse them. Instead, like Kilel Ella Apam, he did not curse the person. He cursed the midah of Af. Shenemar Order Apam. Another example. Uchashenichnas Avin b'mirma. When Yaakov entered into his father Yitzchak with deceit and took the brachos, he says something shocking. Yaakov was deserving of a curse. Eitzel Aviv, Hoyu Royal Hiskalo. It says Royal Hiskalo. Uman Nemarsham, Gam Boruchu. Yi, I'm sorry, Bagam Boruch Yiye. The Mevorchim, when it says by the Mevorchim on the mountain, Har Grizim Har Evil, Elu Yamdu Levorich Esa'om, these shall stand to bless the people. The Mekalalim, when it came to the Kol, it does not say this expression. It says, Loi Nemar, Ve Elu Yamdu Lekal Esa'om Ela, it says, Ve Ela Al HaKlola. They stood on the klola. It does not say that the klola should go to the people. So Rashi goes on to say, Madoch in these three different these three different events of Jewish history, where Me'ikar hadin, they are deserving of a curse. Hashem did not curse them. They were not cursed. So when they're deserving of blessing, you out of your mind, you think I'm going to be successful in cursing them? Rashi, in the process of telling us this, has revealed to us something amazing. There are three areas in our life that we better be very careful. In three areas, me'ikar hadin, we do deserve a curse. And what are the three areas? Af, anger. When people lose control of their emotions, anger. The second is deceit, nirma. And the third is the brachas and hargriz and hareva. What were the brachas primarily? Morality. Arayos. The main chunk of those brachas is morality. And Rashi over here is telling you, you have all these different rules, guidelines. There are tayag mitzvahs. What are the ikarim? I can't do all 613. What should I focus on? The Gemara in Masechet Makos goes through all the different madregas until it comes at the very end. Mitzadik. Just focus on emunah. But here in this Rashi, he's giving us his version. There are three things watch out for in this world, in your life. Because there are three things Rashi lists that we deserve to be cursed for. Anger, ki ba'apom, in their anger, horgu ish. They should have been cursed for this violent anger. Number two, deceit. Nirma, deceitfulness, and number three, morality. Morality meaning your wife is your wife, my wife is my wife, and let's keep it like that. V'chol hanilvim olaf, arayos. Basically, most of those things are privacy. Arayos, okay, the taiva of taivas hanoshim, to keep it under control. When it goes to a degree of crossing the line, these are things that Rashi is listing here as the most severe. The most severe. And that's a very powerful Musa Haskel, to focus on anger, deceit, that's really a big one, and morality. These is what comes out, is what a person, Klal Yisrael, has to be super duper careful to keep in check. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful Shabbos. Have an easy and meaningful fast, Shavuos B'Tammuz. It's a long fast. And Yirtzeh Hashem, see you on Monday morning, 9:30. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you everyone for coming.
Easy fast.
Easy and meaningful fast. Shabbos. What do you say?
Shabbos.
Nice to see you. Nice to see you. Regards to your wife. Please send her best regards. Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Sorry? Who's your side?
What do you say?
Good Shabbos. Tomorrow, good Shabbos.
What did you learn today?
Balak?
What about?
Matoivu Allah Yaakov. We mentioned that.
What else did you learn about Balak? Huh? You know the name of the donkey?
No.
Tamari, have a good Shabbos. Thank you for coming.
Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Thank you for coming. Thank you. Good Shabbos, Harav. Harav, Dr. Colonel Shlomo Cohen Shlita. Rabban Shal Kol Yisrael, Rabban Shal Kol B'nai Yisrael HaGoyla.
I learned some interesting things this week. All right.
Okay, good Shabbos.
How is Mr. Weiss?
Mr. Weiss, Baruch Hashem, I call him every Friday. I speak to him every Friday.
Yeah, he just doesn't go online.
He's fine. Baruch Hashem is good. He's very good. Very good.
He never leaves the house?
No, he leaves the house. He leaves the house. It's just hard. He came, it's hard for him to come. He's okay. Baruch Hashem. Mr. Cohen, Baruch Hashem, is okay.
Good.
And everyone should be okay.
I learned a lot of interesting things.
Good Shabbos.
About Bullock. Bullock and Bilam, the type of kishuf that they did, one was action.
Yeah.
Procedures to follow. The other was what spells to cast and